Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we think of, Lord, all the peace and the joy, Lord, that you've had for us, Lord, that you give us. Lord, all the long-suffering, Lord, you've had with us. Lord, we're so thankful tonight, Lord, to be able to gather, sing a few praise and worship songs to you. Lord, for truly, you are our life, you are our all. And Lord, we just appreciate you greatly tonight, Lord, and we want you to know that. And Lord, we come to hear thy word also, Lord. We ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to reveal your precious word to us once more. Lord, just have your way in the service. Everything that's said and done, be said and done for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to sing a little chorus. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
As I live my
so thankful. Praise his wonderful name. A longing for Jesus. Amen. A little chorus. Longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for him. Just to be near him. I want to live the way he wants me to live.
Yes.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever have loved the Lord. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I can Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Just praise him, saints. Amen. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he as his holy name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name. And Sing out one little chorus in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. In the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah. God Almighty. Oh God. Hallelujah. Yourselves, you might take the offering up. Oh, it's so good to know Him. Amen. We thank Him. To our brother.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative. Lord, to feel the call in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Uphold your word of gathering together, Lord. Lord, and knowing that you're going to be here to meet us. Lord, to be able to feel your presence. I know I don't deserve it. the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and be a lighthouse to all these
nations.
We ask this, Father, in the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I never knew love till I met Jesus. I never knew love. Created heaven and earth, amen, it lives in our hearts. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come so humbly before you tonight. Lord, we have such a praise in our hearts, Lord. For Lord, how long suffering you've been with me. Oh, Lord, we just think about all the things you've done for us. And Lord, I just can't help it. Lord, let our hearts go out to you, Lord, in thanksgiving. Lord, with a desire and a prayer, Lord, that you keep us on the right path. Lord, overcoming daily. Lord, what a desire, Lord, is in your children's heart, Lord, to have that this day. Lord, for all the young people, Lord, that has a urge in their heart or a desire in their heart, Lord, to lay down the world. Lord, we ask you to fill them. Oh, Lord, if they need a touch from you, Lord, Lord, you can relieve all their frustrations. Lord, all the things that they worry about and they bothers them. Lord, you're the only one we can go to in a need. Lord, we appreciate you tonight. Lord, we know you're more than able. Lord, there's many here can testify of that this very night. Lord, you've changed their lives and you've, Lord, made their bodies whole. Lord, you're so precious, Lord. We love you and appreciate you. Lord, as we stand here, Lord, with each one raising their hand, signifying a need, Lord, maybe not for themselves, maybe for somebody else. Lord, we pray that you'll meet that need in a mighty way.
Yes.
Lord, we always want to give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we know, Lord, that you're more than able, Lord, to take care of every spirit, Lord, that's in here tonight, Lord, or every need, every financial, spiritual, Lord, that's more important than anything else in this life. Lord, we know you're more than able to do it, Lord, and Lord, we claim it by your precious holy word and your desire you've given us. Lord, a desire to overcome daily, Lord, and to reach that goal before us.
Yes.
Lord, we love you with all our hearts. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Leffler and Brother Philip D. Long. Lord, continue to bless them, Lord. Lord, we know you've touched their body already, but Lord, we ask you to continue to be with them and uplift them, and Lord, let them know that we're with them all the way. Lord, each one, Lord, that Lord, Brother Samba, anyone, Lord, that maybe has a struggle in their life, Lord, but they long to be here, Lord, we appreciate the desire. We know you'll bless them for it. Lord, just bless each one now as we, Lord, settle down for the hearing of thy word. Lord, it's so important in this day and age, Lord, that we listen. Lord, we have a desire to listen and, Lord, apply it to our lives, Lord. Lord, it ain't what we was yesterday, Lord, it's what we're going to be today. Oh, we just love and appreciate you with all our hearts now. Just have your way in everything that's said and done in the remainder of this service. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and the honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us and all our sins. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, amen. We thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, he's so real, amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, we love you, Lord. Amen. Praise his name. I think we'll ask our brother to come at this time. Deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Let's sing that little chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, and let's mean it with all our hearts. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Precious Lord, we're just so thankful to be here this evening. Lord, we're just so grateful for the desire that burns in our heart, Lord, that's pulled us and drawn us to this point. And Lord, we've humbly come this evening together around your precious word, and Lord, to partake of whatever portion you would have for us, Lord, just praying that some nugget, Lord, some scripture, some quote may mean just some a little more extra to someone, Lord, that it would make the word of God more powerful to us, Lord, and make it mean more. Lord, your word is so precious. It is spirit and it is life. Lord, it's the sustaining substance, Lord, that we live by. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word this evening and just pray, Lord, that your will would be done in all things, and through it all may you receive all the glory and the honor that's due unto you, and will never fail, Lord, to see you receive all the praise and the glory for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't he so precious?
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to 1 John. Very familiar scriptures and maybe a little odd text for this evening. Just praying that we'll just have our hearts open and just listen to the things the prophet said. And as we read these scriptures, just think about it, and just may it, God's got a purpose in everything. Amen. John, first chapter, in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the 14th verse says, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Amen. We'll go ahead and turn over to Hebrews, if you wish, to the first chapter of Hebrews here and read this scripture. Amen. Very short and sweet. Amen. Brother Branham quoted this many times, and so we just want to catch on it here. So Hebrews, the first chapter and the first two verses. But God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made all the worlds. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that everything that's moving, he's in charge. And as we stand here tonight and we have this Bible laying here and we have this precious word and we call it the Word of God, and maybe it may seem very elementary what I'll even read and speak tonight, but just think about the goodness of God to you and I.
Yes,
many people hear the Word of God And if we want to, let's turn over to John, the 10th chapter, and we'll go ahead and just place that in there to go with this. John 10, and we'll start there at the 25th verse of the 10th chapter. And Jesus answered them, and I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And before this world was ever formed, God in his great mind saw each and every one of those little elect. And he, by his foreknowledge, was able to predestinate that they would have a desire, and there would be a little receiver down inside. That at some point, someday, that voice would go forth and the Word of God would catch their attention in a mighty special way. And we've seen it all back down through the Scriptures of when that voice spoke to the prophets down through time, how they went into action. And just to catch a few things, I'd like to just go back and catch a few quotes Brother Branham had made. This was in Who Do You Say This Is? Preached December 27th, 1964. And just think about these things, and just draw your attention to a few little nuggets in here. He said this, paragraph 123, and we'll start with Moses. God had called, well, before Moses, I didn't bring a quote about Noah, but we can look at Noah, how God dealt with Noah's heart. And he moved with fear, the scripture says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. He moved with fear upon God revealing to him it was going to rain. And right out, instantly, there was a manifestation. His body went into action. And his works began to show forth that he believed God, what he had been told. It showed that he believed God. He worked on that boat for 120 years and preached it was going to rain. God vindicating and manifesting to that people that though it was contrary to everybody around him, and everybody else told him how crazy he was, and maybe how his mental capacity was gone, and there's no water up in that sky, but he believed God no matter what, and nobody could convince him any different. And he sat there, and when it was done, he sat there in the door of that ark and waited till God said, it's time. And then he went in and God shut the door. But when God spoke to him, there was a reaction that took place in his life that was manifested and vindicated out to others. He became an interpretation of God's word. And he made haste and prepared that ark. Yes. So think about Moses here now. As Brother Branham puts it like this, he says, God had called Moses, and he didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and to be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with brothers. But you see, just like I believe, I forget what prophet it was that said it. If I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch fire. God has spoken, and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God had spoken his heart, and he must say it. Yeah. Not to be different, but be obedient. Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hearkening unto the fats of the ram. See, it was in his heart, and he must do it. It was his life, and he couldn't hold it. Yeah. There was something, a pulsation that pushed them, and they couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice and their action. Hallelujah, he says. And I want you to think about that when you look back through the scriptures and we see each one of these men of old. And we can look back there and see how God had such control over them when he called them and they recognized God had sent them for a purpose. You can see their actions, and as they realized they were speaking and doing those things, all their voice and their actions, he says. He had complete control of them, moving every action. And Brother Branham says, give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord, and walk in that Shekinah glory, and I'll show you a Messiah or an anointed one of God standing upon the earth. He says, there stood Moses by this burning bush, and the Shekinah glory standing there, anointed. He didn't know what he was doing hardly. He was just obeying what that voice said, do. Stick your hand in your bosom, pull it out. Take up that rod, turn it into a serpent. throw it back down again. No matter what anybody else said, he was doing it. Think about these little nuggets that are laying in here. As we see this, God called Moses for a purpose, spoke to him out of that bush, and no, there's something in Moses that caught his attention. He turned aside to see it, and he realized that it was God speaking to him. Amen. And when he realized who that voice was that was speaking to his heart, he did everything. I just like how Brother Brandon put it there. He said he was just obeying exactly what that voice said, do. Stick your hand in your bosom, pull it out, take it up, that rod, turn it into a serpent, throw it back down again, no matter what anybody else said. He was doing it. And just hold that, and we'll get to back to it here in just a moment. But oh, how we see this great, as God began to speak to Moses, what a great thing that was. And realizing in Exodus, God used to speak lip to ear to the children of Israel. And then they said, we don't want God to speak to us no more. Moses, you be the voice between us. And God said, so be it. And we realize the order that God put in place at that point in time. But think here now of Abraham. And I believe this may be the quote Brother DeLong read here the other night, but it caught my attention. I thought we'd just read it again. This is in the Message Look, and April 28, 1963, in paragraph 101. He said, that's what the church ought to do today. Look to the one thing, the voice, the word of God that speaks to us. Now, we know and we can say this is the word of God, and we can agree that this is the word of God. But it's got to be revealed to us in a mighty way that this is God speaking to you and to me. The same as all the old prophets down through time, when they realized who it was speaking to them. They went into action. It brought forth a manifestation at that point that they realized what was being spoken to them and their purpose was lined out in front of them. So think about it here. As he says, speaking of Abraham, he says, let me back up. He says, but look to the voice. What are we looking at? He says, he looked to the voice that spoke to him, and he called everything contrary to that voice as though it wasn't. And yet materially, it was far out of focus with the world as Noah's times was. It was just as far out of focus. Because why? Noah's time, they couldn't prove there was rain up there. But Noah knew that if God said so, he was able to put rain up there. And Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead, but he considered not his own body. And he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, a young girl. He had married his half-sister and lived with her all of these years. And now she is 90 years old and he's 100. But he didn't even think about that. That didn't even come in his mind. Why? He had focused all unbelief out. Oh, glory. And that's what the church should do. That's what each member of the church should do. Would focus you out of all. Focus out of you all doubt and look only to that word, and it's promised. God said so. It's got to be that way. Amen. God has so graciously delivered this precious word to us in a great manner. Amen. And we're living in a time when it's coming into its fullness. Amen. And God said he would send that prophet back in this day to tie up all those loose ends and to bring it back, to have that little bride ready for the coming of the Lord. And by God's grace, we recognize we're a portion of that little bride. Each one of us has got to see our portion in that. It's not because I come to church here or I go to church somewhere else or I got a certain pastor, but we've got to come to the realization that God is speaking to you and speaking to me. He's called me. As Brother DeLong was mentioning Sunday night, come. When he said, come, follow me. He's called each one of us in a special way, and we've each one heard that little still small voice. Some of us may be even hearing it tonight. Come and follow me. There's a higher place for you. There's more for you. There's more to this word than you're seeing now. Come and let me show you what's laying there for you. And if you'll think about, get ahead of myself a little bit, but think about the message, perfect faith. Think about the message, the token. Think about all God's word that's laying here before us. That we have heard. We've heard it go forth and we've heard it go forth. But has the reality struck us in such a way? Just think of that. When it struck Noah that day, God told him it was going to rain. He's going to build that ark. That every action he had from that time forward declared. It was showing forth out of his life. He knew that rain was coming. And he was making preparations for it. Look at Abraham. When God told him he was going to have that son, it went forth. It was evident. Instantly, he realized who had spoke to him and who had give forth that promise. Yes. And when it was anchored in his heart, every day forward from there, he considered not the obstacles nor the circumstances, but moved forward every day looking for that son that was promised. Think about the word that's promised to you and I. And if it would really anchor down in our heart of what's laying here that he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not make believe, but truly believe. And oh, if we could just anchor ourselves into this precious word and say, Lord, maybe I heard it. And maybe I've heard it read. But has it really been revealed to me to the point that I can truly believe that is me on those pages that you were speaking to, Lord? And that's the revelation that has got to be dipped into each of our hearts. Not just a church going. Not because I follow the prophet's message and I saw God do great mighty signs and wonders. I've read about it. I've heard it on the tape. I listen to it and I hear it. But oh, it's got to become a reality to me as an individual. And oh, we live in such an age, and we'll read it here in a minute, but it's been mentioned before. It's you just got to hear that voice. Just listen. Oh, it's the voice of God. Just listen to that voice. But oh, that voice of God is speaking. But it's speaking to a predestinated few. A few that hear that voice and don't just stand still, but will follow it right into the leadership that he said. Amen. My sheep will follow me. Amen. And a stranger they will not. Amen. Yes. They know my voice. Yes. So now Brother Branham's going to speak about Jesus here a little bit in the message identification. And we'll start here about paragraph 80. Just to catch what he said, but what I'm after is at the bottom more or less. And this was preached January 23rd, 1963. He said he was sinless by nature. And the only thing that could project that sinless God word, the word being God, and a word is a thought expressed. And when God thought of a parent, he expressed his thought, and Christ was God's expression. Yes. Amen. You see it? He was God's expression. That God could be us and live as we live, yet expressing perfectly what the perfect person should be. Listen to that. Amen. We've heard all of these things, but if we would just let it catch in our hearts just a little bit deeper, I think. Mm-hmm. He says, what a perfect person should be, perfectly. He was God's word expressed. And properly vindicated and identified. And when he stood here on earth, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. He said, which one of you can accuse me of sin? And I would like to open that up just a little bit for you if it's permissible. You see, sin is unbelief. There's only two thing channel that you can live by. One of them is faith and the other one is unbelief. And he that believeth not is condemned already. Smoking, drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, carnal impersonations. Those things are attributes of unbelief. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do those things. No, you do that because you're not a believer. Now think about what he mentioned. Those are attributes. But let's take it down into our own personal lives, each one of us. And truly think about that. As he said it in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, every action must declare Jesus Christ. So think about that. If we know what God's word says. And if there's something in my life that keeps cropping up, just like any of those things. Maybe it's brotherly kindness is non-existent. Maybe being under subjection to my husband is non-existent. All of these things is because I don't believe what God has spoke to me. That's the it's showing forth that I don't truly believe what God has spoken to us. Or if we did believe it, our bodies would come under subjection to it. And we'd be doing all we could to be right in the harness and to see that thing projecting and living from our life. And every action must declare Jesus Christ. Every attitude, every way I respond to someone, every way I deal with someone. If we've heard these things over and over and over so much that we almost, when it's quoted, we just let it slide off of us sometimes. But if we would truly, each one of us, look down into our own actions every day and think about ourselves, is it truly Jesus Christ expressing? Or do I still have some of my own ambitious ways projecting forth? And each one of us, that's a question we each one have to ask ourselves and to measure ourselves up in God's precious word. That's why we've been given the opportunity each and every time to come in and to gather around God's word and to hear these things and to see it. He says, but oh, you, he says, you do that because you're not a believer. And oh, you say, oh, but I am a believer. But by their fruits you shall know them. See, your actions speak louder than your confession proves. See, when you disbelieve God's word and count it as something gone by or take some book in its stead saying this is just as good as that, it goes to show that you're not a believer. That's right. You're not. And if you was, then you would believe God's word and he would express himself through the word. if we truly believed it, he would express it himself. As he goes on to say here, he says, now he was God's word expressed. And he said, now if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do and search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And that's the very thing that tells who I am. He says, oh, I wonder, see, that's the one who says who I am. The scriptures tell who I am. And let me take that a little further, will you? The scripture is what tells what you are. That expresses you and it expresses me. The scriptures tell what we are. It's so loud that our voice can't even be heard. Our life speaks louder than our voice, see? And it's God's way of letting us see what we are. Mm-hmm. It's his way of letting us see where we need to climb. Yes. How we need to be shaped more in his image. What we need to give up, die out to, crucify the flesh greater. Yes. And to let him have that full preeminence in our lives. Amen. And God's got a special way of doing that. Mm-hmm. And a special gift that he uses his ministry to present that to us and to search out those things and to get up here underneath the anointing and to bring those things to our attention. Just think, it's easy sometimes to look back now and see Moses standing back there with those Ten Commandments in his hands coming down off of the mountain. See what the people he got into at the time. And to see Moses, you know, in trying to show them, look what God has done for you. Look where he's taking you. What are you doing? Why are you messing around in this situation? It's easy to look back there and see that image. It's easy to look at John the Baptist standing on the river when we see what's going on, saying repent, and we see that taking place in history, so to speak. It's easy to see that whole picture. But here we stand today, God sent a prophet, and it's easy to look back when Brother Branham was here, and he was preaching and coming against that bobbed hair, and we don't have it. Talking about how men ought to be men and women should be women and bringing and expressing the word of how we should live. And it's easy to look back there and say, I believe every bit of that. But God delivered a message through him to this last day, this little bride. And God sent his ministry until they come to the unity of the faith. And God sends whatever that gift of ministry is to come and bring that same word. And to rehearse it and to study and lay before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit pull a quote here and pull a scripture there and put it together. And to come in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the people come in with their hearts praying, Lord, reveal to me my portion. And the ministers underneath the Holy Spirit praying, Lord, give me something to say to the people that will help them. And we come in underneath that anointing and God delivers maybe exactly what we need or he's trying to show us where we need to get to. But maybe because we've kind of got our hearts sealed off that I've heard that, I know all about that, and I just don't let it penetrate me. Yes. And it gets blocked and we just kind of hold off. But you know, if we could just come to the realization that every time, whether we're gathering in here or wherever we're gathering, where two or three together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And if God's word is laying there and it's being rehearsed, God is there to reveal the word to the people's hearts. And he's got to provide a channel to do that. And oh, if we would just lay aside and put that veil up there and forget man. And just look into God's precious word and forget the things that are behind us, the things we've heard on this side and the things we've heard on that side. And totally focus into God's precious word and say, Lord, there must be a higher height for me and your word. And you're trying to take me there. Don't let me shut you off by something I'm trying to hinder you with, Lord. But lead me and guide me. Think about Moses standing there. Lord, I don't want to go. This is not for me. I can't go down to Egypt. But just a few minutes in the presence of the Lord, and he picked up his staff and he turned around and took off a one-man invasion down into Egypt to bring those people out. Yeah. Following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Look at all of God's men. They didn't want to go. But when God showed them where they were standing, boy, it changed the tune then. They were right in line and moving on. And that's where our focus has got to be. We've sat around this word so long. We've sat around the scriptures. We've sat around the prophet's message and we've heard it and we can quote it and we can tell you when it was preached and where it was preached and all we know all about it. But is the reality of it come down on the inside that the interpretation of the word is being lived out through us? Showing forth as he goes on here. He says, the scriptures, let's see, Jesus said, they testify me, they prove what I am, and which one of you can condemn me of sin or unbelief? Listen, I'm talking about looking at yourself. If I haven't properly identified myself as being the Word, what the Word said I would be, I wonder if we as Christians could think that tonight. I wonder if we can look into God's looking glass of what the requirements is of a Christian and identify ourselves that way. I wonder if we could. I wonder if we can identify ourselves tonight with John 3:16 and all the other kinds of scriptures, Mark 16 chapter, and all the other places that's over in Galatians, I believe, in different places, 2 Thessalonians, where the fruits of the Spirit and so forth. I wonder if we can identify ourselves. And we've got to see the Word made flesh. We're supposed to be living epistles, read of all men. Yeah. This Word, is we've got to be walking Bibles. Not walking, just quoting a bunch of words, but our lives has got to be an expression in this last few moments of time that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in a people's hearts and lives. And it's expressing back to a people that they see a reality of it. This was in the... Let me go ahead and read this before we get over there. But this is a quote that's very much used when they say we should just hear the voice. And this was in my commission, preached May the 5th, 1951. But listen to what Brother Branham was saying when he said this. And it just, and then we'll read the next quote afterwards. But this is about paragraph, I'll start about paragraph 40. He was talking about Congressman Upshaw. He says, as I started, Mr. Kopp, here, Brother Kopp, the pastor went up there and said, go tell the congressman that God has healed him. And I seen him go walking away. Would you stand up, congressman, just so the people could see? You see, he said, the congressman of the United States of America that was crippled for 66 years. And let us say, bless the Lord. God bless you, my brother. And they could say nothing evil of it, for the man stood with him that had been laying at the gate for 40 years. And this man was 66 years, an invalid. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Just watch the movement of the Holy Spirit here is what was happening. And he's pointing this out. And he's showing that that man laid there at the gate of the pool of Bethesda for 40 years. And look at the Congressman Upshaw, 66 years, God proving that he was still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And he says, how did he, Mr. Upshaw? I never seen him in my life. I know nothing of him. How did I know he was a congressman and who he was? But the Holy Spirit revealed it here at the platform. See, he revealed it. He makes his secrets known. Now, that's nothing to do with me. It just happened to be that I was born for that purpose. The same as Moses was born to be a deliverer at that time. The same as Noah was born to be there at the place when to build an ark. The same as Abraham was be there to have a son and to manifest scripture at that time. John the Baptist was sent at the time he was to forerun the coming of Christ. Look at all these things and think of the Holy Spirit here. As Brother Branham's just, he's a man like you and I. But he was sent for a purpose. And God was using him. And listen to how he says it. He says, now that's nothing to do with me. I just happened to be there that I was born for that purpose. Just like the pool in the water of Bethesda. It couldn't say, look what a great water I am. For when the angel went down off of the water, it was just water. Is that right? That's right. Now I'm just your brother by the grace of God. But when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you. Maybe I offended you by saying that, forgive me. But I felt that it might have been resented. But I am God's voice to you, see? I say that again, that time was under inspiration, you see. And I felt bad about it the first time, but it repeated it. And see, I can't say nothing in myself, but what he shows me and I say it and you believe it and watch what happens. And oh my, if we would but believe. Not just the great signs and wonders that was happening, but God sent him for a purpose to restore the word back to us and to bring a message that would prepare that little bride for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And to prepare for a rapture that was going to take place. Yes. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a wise fable of old, but it is a true and meaningful message that's been delivered from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses man. He showed us all through these scriptures. He prepared us in this age for us to be here. Think when Jesus come on the scene, so many, they missed him. They were blinded by the way he came and the things he was. They didn't think he could be one of them. And the same when God moved here. No, we're farther down the line. We've had a chance to see the whole picture. And God should reveal to us and just to say, that was a prophet. But think of the men and the women that walked with Brother Branham. The men and women that were standing there that night that they knew where he was born in Kentucky. The same as those scribes and Pharisees, they knew where Jesus was born. They knew him. They walked with him. They slept with him. They ate with him. But it was God in the flesh then. Amen. And God was using a man's voice today to speak to you and I. to show us that the prophets are his mouthpiece. Holy men of old, moved by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy is given, as it says in 2 Peter. But look at the God begin to speak to us. And we've heard that voice, and we say so readily, that was a prophet. God spoke through the prophet to us. But those words that came through a prophet, look back through the scripture, anytime a prophet spoke, something happened.
Yeah, sure.
There was something taking place somewhere. Every time the word went forth, there was reaction behind it, and it just kept rolling. And it kept rolling to where we are today. And God sent that prophet for a reason. He said he would forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. And here we stand at the threshold. But do we believe every word that that prophet spoke? Or do we pick and choose what we're going to say? This message was just for that. It's easy to take perfect faith when you look at it and to push it off on the shelf and say, oh, that's awful steep. That's an awful big thing. To walk like that with no condemnation and not to have any doubt. But oh, look what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Look at the place he's brought us to and the reason behind it. But a people's got to be willing. Noah was willing. He didn't care. Nothing else sidetracked him. When God spoke to him, he went to work on that boat, and that was the only thing that concerned him.
Amen.
When Abraham saw he was going to have that son, he was looking for it every day, and nothing else concerned him. God had given him a promise, and he was looking for it. When Moses went down into Egypt, God had promised him a land. And that's what they came out of Egypt looking for. He had a clear-cut vision of what God had promised him. And oh, as we sit here tonight, hearing God's precious word, God still speaking, the same God that spoke out of that burning bush to Moses, the same God that spoke to Abraham, the same God that spoke when John the Baptist was standing down there at the river baptizing, the same God that spoke when Brother Branham was here down there at the river, the same God that spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus is the same Jesus Christ that's speaking to my heart and your heart tonight through his precious word and the moving of the Holy Spirit that he's blessedly given us. Oh, how we ought to take it so much dearer to our hearts what we have and what we're looking at here. Amen. This is in the message, Sirs, We Would See Jesus. And this is about paragraph 120. And I'll catch this to get it on down there. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This was preached December 24th, 1961. He says, oh, how different it is. Let me back up. He says, but Christ himself pointed people to his death and said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. Oh, how different it is. Yes, sir, how different. But your life and his life find each other, not at the church, not in a building, not in a creed, not in good works, yes, but in the cross where you are crucified with him, that's where you find Christ. And you don't find him by doing better or turning a new page and starting a new life. You don't find Christ. You find Christ only in death, not in a manger, not in a confession. To believe in certain creeds and fables, you don't find Christ there. A true servant takes you to him, and he is the Word. And you say, then, Brother Branham, if Christ is on earth today, a real servant would take you to him, Christ. Well, Christ is here in the form of the Word, and the Word brings life because he is the Word. And Christ is the Word. Yes, sir, he is the Word himself. The true servant always takes you to the Word. And how we can truly say our prophet always pointed us back to the Word.
Amen.
Always back into the Scripture. We can see it. Oh, we see it run and run and it goes. We need to accept every word he spoke and realize that it runs back into the Scriptures with what God has given us.
Yes.
He says, now he is the Word. He said, he is the Word himself. The true servant always takes you to the Word. Now he is the Word. He is the Bible made living. And when you die to yourself with Christ like a corn of wheat, and then the Word lives in you, it brings forth the same results as it did in that living corn of wheat that had to drop into the earth. Amen. You are partakers in his resurrection. You're partakers with him in all of his blessings and all of his manifestations. You are partakers with him in all that he did.
Yes.
And now he is the Word with its true interpretation. And you say, oh, we believe the Bible, sir. We believe the Bible. But now if you believe that Bible, Jesus said in the Bible, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. That's the true interpretation of the Bible. For God himself is in you speaking back his own interpretation, glory. That's the true interpretation. God in you, interpreting his own words. Amen. Didn't Jesus say, these signs shall follow them that believe? God in you, giving his own interpretation. You don't have to look to somebody else and say, the word says this. believe it, and it will interpret itself, because it's God using you to interpret his own word. Amen. Christ is the living interpretation of his own word. And if we will yield ourselves to every word that he's spoken and believe it with all of our hearts and stay right in tune with what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us, God will interpret every word through this scripture and through our lives back to this generation and to this people. You say, just signs and wonders? No, every word that's proceeded from the mouth of God, we'll see it evident and living in our hearts and in our lives. But there's no promise in this Bible that's of none effect. God's word is just as true and real today as it ever was. As our pastor was beginning to speak, if you need a healing, whatever we need, God is more than able to provide it. He's more than able to back up every word. He's not dead. He is alive, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he needs a people that'll make him the same today as he was yesterday and shall be forever. And by God's grace, may we be those people that are reaching out in faith and crying out, Lord, reveal to me the word. Maybe I've heard it with the ear, but reveal it to me, Lord, that it would take this body so under control that I would be so in tune and be led by the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you would be, your glory would be shown forth, and you would receive praise from the life that you live through this body and what he's able to do. Oh, I pray it to just continue to stir our hearts, saints. But God has spoken to us today just as much as he spoke to Moses, to Noah. But it's got to be revealed to us as individuals that it's God speaking to you and speaking to me. Not just a man's idea. Not just the way my pastor thinks about it. Not just the way somebody else told me about it. But we've got to see it come off of this precious word in a reality and be embedded in our hearts, and then watch God do the work and interpret that that word is true in a living manifestation back from our lives. That's what I want to see in my life. Amen. Oh, I got higher heights to go. There's higher planes to climb. But by God's grace, there's a desire pulling. There's something pushing. Just as he said, it was pulsating in Moses. It was pushing him. Whether they wanted to go, them old men wanted to go or not, there was something pushing them. And that's the way it is with that little bride. There's something down on the inside that's pushing and it's pulsating as they hear that precious word and they realize the day in which we're living. We see all the chaos taking place, but we know it ain't going to be long. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And that's the reality. You don't have to worry about the world chaos falling in around us. You don't have to worry about all that's going on in the world. But look into God's precious word. Look and live, my brother. Look and live. It's laying there for each and every one of us if we'll just take God at his word and let him do the work in our lives that he's looking to do. But oh, don't shut him off, but oh, reach out to him and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord, for whatever it is, a doormat, whatever you need. I want to be yours. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Pray something was said to stir your heart a little bit. You go in and read some of those things and go back, but just think about it. So many just think they're hearing a voice, but oh, there's more to a voice than just the sound you hear. But oh, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Lord, lead me and guide me in the paths you'd have me go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little song, I'm Pressing On. Amen, the upward way. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Meaning every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, or with my feet on higher ground. Sing it again. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven. Every one of our desires, isn't it? To be planted on higher ground. Regardless of what it is, wherever we fall short, Lord, get me higher. I want to climb higher. That press has been given to us by God's precious mercy and grace. Amen.
And I can't help but to think about, and Brother Timothy mentioned it several times tonight again, my sheep hear my voice. Think of that. And they shall follow me. They'll follow him. They won't follow a stranger. Follow. To follow, you have to be led. Something's leading you if you're following. If you're following somebody, if I follow Brother Settles there or out the door, he's leading, right? All right. My sheep will follow. Oh, I love it. You just got to think about it. You just got to sit back and meditate about it and really think about it. You'll truly begin to see election. You'll miss it if you don't really ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart to it. It's just a phrase. It's just a scripture. But it's so powerful. It always goes back to that predestinated seed. Elected of God. If it isn't elected of God, it'll never come to it. It's impossible to come to it, you see. But thank God for his mercy and grace. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've sit here and enjoyed hearing the Word of God. And it's just always so strengthening, Lord, encouraging to sit and just listen to the Word of God and just keep measuring ourselves up by it and searching our own hearts and lives to see if we're falling short in anything. Lord, that's a desire you've placed in our hearts, and we greatly appreciate it. And how it does cause us to be so humble, Lord, and feel so humiliated, Father, that without you we can do nothing. It's impossible to do anything in ourselves. And I trust, Lord, you'll help us all to understand humility even greater. That, Lord, if we could just truly get ourselves clear down to the bottom, and Lord, let you lift us up, then, Lord, it'll be you that the people will see. It won't be us. It won't be our attitude. It won't be our carnal desires or anything like that. It'll be you that they see. And that should be the desire of every one of our hearts. So we ask now, as we come here and you bless us with the word, that you'd bless us, Lord, with guidance and protection. Keep us safe upon the highways. And truly, it's our desire, Lord, to come back and listen to the word the next provided time you give us. And may we be hungry, Lord, and desiring to hear every word of God. We thank you now for everything. Just bless us in your special way. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord willing, of course, we have Easter coming up. If we don't have too many visitors or so forth, which on that morning, I'd love to have foot wash communion. And like I said, of course, we'll have a little message before that. And it'll probably be a little lengthy. So, and if you do want to invite somebody, that's fine. You know, if you want to invite somebody to come. But that's what my desire is. And if the Lord leads to go that way, I'd like to do that. So may the Lord richly bless you, and you're all dismissed, and keep on the firing line. Yes. Sure.
If you'd have seen it, you'd have thought it had to be cancer. But thank God it came back, the test came back. It wasn't cancer in the nerves or cancer in the midfield. So it's clear of cancer. I just got to wait now for the healing of it to take place. And I thank God for that. Amen. I really do appreciate it.
Amen.
And I thank God I had one on my forehead, and the Lord healed it. And a while back I had an x-ray taken, and it showed that I had a nodule on one of my lungs, and that was from the x-ray. And a week or two later, I think, when I had to have a CAT scan and come back, and wasn't there.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the things that God does for me.
Yes.
Thank you for it. I trust you. The biggest part of my life, I trust you. still the same God.
Amen.
Same God today as it was back 40 years ago.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, yes. I thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else got something the Lord's done for you? Amen. He's done things for me too. I ain't got time to tell it right now. We'll tell it later. Amen. I'll tell you one little thing. Well, it was a big thing to me. I really don't really, to this point, I still don't understand really how it happened. But I was, had hit the edge of the road. You know, probably all of us has done that. And got off the berm. And I was heading over a bank. I mean, just as fast as I could go. And I was in grass. And you know, an automobile traveling 50 miles an hour, there is no traction on grass. And I had to go back after it happened to just look at it. I thought, Lord, that was you that kept me safe. But I'd started off the road, and a vehicle was clear off the road. It was even past the gravel, just past the berm of the road, heading over this bank. Within 30 feet, the vehicle come right back up and up on the road and just as straight as could be. It'd been impossible. There ain't a driver on the road could do that. And it felt like I had no control of that vehicle. But ended up back up on the road. I thank God for it. And I just kept thanking him the rest of the way home. I thought, Lord, I know it was you. That was impossible for me to steer out of that. Not when the vehicle's on a slant like this. Could have rolled over very easily. And then with that many feet, just back up on the road. That's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. It wasn't my time to go yet. So I'm thankful for that. Amen. Because it wouldn't have been good. So may the Lord bless you richly, and we'll tell you more later. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.